A 16-year-old charged in the death of a 13-year-old. We speak with Wake's district attorney about what's being done to curb the disturbing trend of youth violence.
We're learning more about the trip a UNC Air flight was taking to and from Wilmington before yesterday's crash. The steps UNC officials are now taking as they investigate what happened.
The weather story of the next few days is the big warm-up. Where our temperatures are headed for the weekend and our next best shot at showers.
But right now at 7 o'clock, we're going to begin with breaking news. New 911 calls revealing the moments the adoptive mother of two siblings who haven't been seen in years called 911 to report one of her children missing. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. So these are the two siblings that we are talking about. We've been showing you these pictures for weeks now. Let's get over to Brian Schrader in the WRAL Live Center with the details. Brian?
Ashley and Dan, thanks to our partners at CityView, we got these 911 calls, or this one 911 call, about an hour ago. And in it, the adoptive mother, Avante Devon, reports that her son, Blake, is missing. Now, this call was made in January, and here's part of what she said.
No, I need to file a missing persons report.
All right.
So I was called to call 911, and he told me he was going to a Buddhist retreat. I never called back.
When did you last see him?
When I told you, during those holiday times, about a year and a half ago.
So what holiday time?
The last holiday. It was between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
From 2023
December.
Or 2022?
Oh, goodness gracious. 2022.
Okay. Now, of course, there's been an extensive investigation, including a search of a home on Berrydale Drive where they once lived. We do know earlier this month, Fayetteville police found partial skeletal remains during one of these searches, but they did not confirm if they were connected to this case or where those remains were located. Hear more from that 911 call tonight on WRAL News at 10 and 11.
I'm Willie Danley in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. I'm standing here at Lenox at Patterson Place Apartment Complex in Durham, where as you can see behind me, police are investigating a fatal shooting. I'll take you to some video that I captured here on the ground. You can get a closer look and see just how large that police presence is here in Durham. According to Durham police, this happened around 3:29 this afternoon. They're responding to a motor vehicle crash. When they got here, they saw three vehicles involved in this crash, and one person in one of those vehicles was shot. EMS attempted to perform some life-saving measures, but he was then pronounced dead at the scene. We're still working to confirm a lot of information. There's some big questions that are still unanswered, like did this shooting happen here at this apartment complex, or did that person drive here after being shot? We're still working to get those answers, and police are also asking anyone with any information that may lead to an arrest in this to contact Crime Stoppers. Back to you.
All right, Willie, thank you. Please do keep us posted on any developments. Now to some startling statistics. In a little more than a year, seven young people have been murdered in Durham, six in Raleigh.
This little girl here, Makia Daniel, she is the latest victim, just an eighth grader. And now another young person, a 16-year-old, is charged with her killing. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan takes us a closer look now at this troubling trend.
This is 13-year-old Makia Daniel, in middle school, who was found dead inside of this apartment off North Hills Drive early Monday morning.
My daughter goes to the same school as this victim did, and so it hits very close to home.
The death of Makia is a disturbing, growing trend Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman and her prosecutors have been dealing with far too often.
We've averaged, over the last year and a half, about a murder a month committed by someone who is under the age of 18.
The latest numbers from the Department of Public Safety show the significant spike. From 2021 to 2023, there were 76 juveniles ages 13 to 15 charged with murder. There were 187 juveniles ages 16 to 17 charged with murder during those same years.
In my over 25 years involved in the criminal justice system, this is unprecedented.
Raleigh police say a 16-year-old was charged with the murder in Makia's death. Right now, it remains unclear the circumstances surrounding the case or the motive.
When you're looking at a case of someone who's 16 charged with murder, I mean, the things you're going to be looking at is trying to evaluate the evidence, as we do in any case, to try and determine what is the appropriate charge here.
Freeman says if the evidence is there, they could take this case to a grand jury where it would be transferred to adult court. She says these senseless deaths continue to rattle the community, and she hopes parents sit down with their children to talk about the dangers of gun violence.
I think we have to be willing to talk to our children, about these issues.
And a balloon release will be held this Saturday to honor the life of Makia Daniel. That starts at 7 at Chavis Park. Chelsea Donovan, WRL News, Raleigh.
Violence against youth also stretching into Cumberland County tonight. Deputies are searching for the person responsible for a drive-by shooting that put a 6-year-old in the hospital. The shooting unfolded late last night at a home on Pleasant View Drive, just east of Fayetteville. The home is covered in bullet holes from one side to another. One bullet also hit a neighboring house. That 6-year-old who was hit is expected to fully recover. No arrests have been made.
We're getting a new look at this report from the FAA about the plane crash at RDU yesterday, saying that it actually bounced off the runway while it was trying to land. The preliminary report doesn't include much detail, but it says that during that landing, the pilot bounced off the runway, then began a missed approach and crashed. It does not detail what led up to yesterday's failed landing. Aviation expert James Krause, though, has some theories on how this could have happened.
You could have an unforecast downdraft. You could have some weather phenomenon that helped the pilot to get in this situation. But unfortunately, most frequently, it's a pilot mistake that causes this.
Krause says he has many lingering questions about the pilot, what the pilot was seeing and experiencing as he came down for that landing. But those questions won't be answered, of course, for at least another year. The NTSB has the airplane transported now to a location in Delaware to continue the investigation.
And the plane was returning from Wilmington, where Dr. Paul Chelminski was giving a lecture. UNC Air flies doctors around the state for specialty care and continuing education. That's actually the goal of the North Carolina Area Health Education Centers. WRL's Monica Casey shows us the mission of this group and when they could be back in the air.
The pilot of the plane that crashed at RDU yesterday was bringing a UNC doctor to and from Wilmington as part of a 50-year mission of equity in medicine across North Carolina.
We have really great employees that do really, really good work and fly a lot and take great care of these aircraft.
NCA HEC Executive Director Hugh Tilson tells me this is worthy work.
We were set up about 50 years ago because there was a shortage of access to largely primary care physicians. And the idea is if you can recruit a healthcare provider from a community, if you can train them in that community, you're much more likely to retain them in that community.
The pilot of this plane, Art Johnson, has been with UNC since 2013. Here he is in a 2018 UNC video about AHEC. Tilson tells me Johnson previously worked for the Department of Transportation.
And he is a really, really well-qualified, well-experienced pilot, and we're so lucky to have him in our employment.
Johnson had serious injuries but is in fair condition. The passenger, Dr. Paul Chelminski, is out of the hospital. Tilson says they are optimistic both men will make a full recovery. With Johnson recovering and the loss of that plane, UNC Air is now down to 2 pilots and 2 planes. At RDU, Monica Casey, WRL News.
And the group NCAHEC has issued a ground stop until next week as they go through all of the protocols, double-checking everything as they investigate how this happened.
Coming up next, I'm going in-depth on the TikTok ban. We're going to take a closer look at why lawmakers view the app as dangerous. Kat?
And temperatures are cooling off out here on the WRAL weather patio tonight, especially with this cooling breeze. I'll have a closer look at when temperatures rebound near 90 degrees coming up.
It happened. They did it. They banned TikTok. Lawmakers banned it. The president signed it. It happened. The Chinese company that owns it now, ByteDance, has 9 months to sell it to an American company, or we're all stuck with reels. Can you believe it? Can you believe this happened? I mean, can you believe our lawmakers actually agreed on something? I mean, these guys disagree on a historic level, passing just 27 bills last year, with one congressman reminding us it was the fewest since the Great Depression. Which is kind of depressing. Yet, on the topic of TikTok, they're arm in arm. How sweet. Now, there are people that are mad about this because TikTok is fun and entertaining and educational. People love the content or they love making money from posting that content. We all like money. But lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say it isn't about the dance trend videos or the podcast clips. It's about China. And they say China is bad. Here's a video I want to show you from the FBI about China's long-term plan to knock us down a few pegs with a quote from their president.
The eventual demise of capitalism and the ultimate victory of socialism will require a long historical process to reach completion.
The over-the-top, ominous music is right. I mean, China's been caught being shady tons of times. I'm sure they trade with us, but it's kind of a frenemy-type relationship. They want to disrupt our country. They constantly align themselves with our adversaries, and they've been caught countless times stealing secrets or trying to hack us.
We've now reached the point where the FBI is opening a new China-related counterintelligence case about every 10 hours. China is engaged in a whole-of-state effort to become the world's only superpower by any means necessary.
So there you have it. By any means necessary. And now we know one of those means is TikTok. That's right. The free app from the App Store on your phone, right next to Instagram and Monopoly Go, can apparently be used as a weapon in the struggle for global dominance. And to think, I was only using it to find new recipes for bolognese. When you download TikTok, you give them access to a whole lot of information. Your name, your age, your email, your phone number, your location. If you buy stuff off of there, you're going to give them your payment information and your address. If you post videos, they can take that biometric information, like your face and your voice. They can also see other activity, things that you're doing on websites or keystrokes, your IP address, so much more. And it's not just TikTok. And this is true for all the big dogs, Meta and Snap and Google and X and Apple and all of them. Of course, you knew that already because you read the terms of service, which you need a law degree to fully understand and are vague enough to give those companies a lot of options for using that data once they actually have it. I asked one of the software engineers here at CBC about it, a guy who has built apps and worked in tech for years.
If it's sent over the network, they can do whatever they want with it, whether they put it in the license agreement or not. Is technically possible.
Which, again, shouldn't surprise you. I mean, haven't you ever thought, wow, these tech companies are worth billions of dollars and they're giving away their apps for free? Funny how that works, huh? But still, you might say, Dan, who cares what these apps know about me? To which I would say, you sure about that? The U.S. government, look, they're not worried about China sending me targeted ads for Just for Men Touch of Grey. This data is clearly more powerful than what we thought. I mean, look at it this way. More than half of the U.S. is on TikTok. That is data on 170 million American users, spending an average of 55 minutes on TikTok every single day. A Wake Forest law professor told me why that could be such a big problem.
If you had information and data points on millions of citizens, you could aggregate that information using technology techniques, using AI, you could determine what sort of things get people's attention, what people's environments look like, what their homes are like. You could do all sorts of things at scale.
So again, this is clearly a power that can be abused, and we don't trust China to have it. But who do you trust? Do you trust big tech in general? Well, there's a lawsuit underway right now claiming all the major social media apps are targeting children, making the apps addictive on purpose and ignoring the harm it's doing to mental health. Meta paid $400 million for violating Europe's child privacy laws there. Google and Twitter, they have paid millions of dollars in fines over mishandling user data. But these companies, they don't deal in millions of dollars. They make billions every single year. Why ask for permission when forgiveness is cheap by comparison? Does any of that, though, compare to the threat from China? Well, no, of course not.
The idea that they would be collecting information for commercial purposes, I think, is different than fears that a foreign government would be collecting and utilizing information not only for commercial purposes, but also for militaristic purposes.
That's the biggie. One of the main points, if someone was going to attack the U.S., knowing the location of 170 million Americans with access to their phone cameras and their microphones would be a valuable tool. Militaristic threats are a bigger concern than Alexa reminding me that Prime Day is coming up. But the biggest threat isn't the only threat. I mean, think about politics. Right? You don't need to own a social media company to use it against people. U.S. intelligence agencies say Russia's been using American social media companies for years to weaponize social media with propaganda and misinformation to sway elections and to create a divide. The Obama and Trump administrations sanctioned them for this. They all know the power of these apps to sway opinions in targeted ways to manipulate us. In 2022, Meta paid $725 million for that Cambridge Analytica scandal. You remember that? Where firms collected and used personal data from Facebook to micro-target political advertising. Remember when Twitter removed former President Trump from the platform because they thought his words were inciting violence, triggering a massive discussion about free speech and the power of platforms like X to control important narratives? And imagine how shocked I was when I scrolled through an article on the topic to find an advertisement just for me from Just for Men, Touch of Gray. Gotta love Fat Joe, by the way, a bald man selling a hair product. Guy's a true hustler. Again, I know that I'm juggling a lot of apples and oranges here, but they are all in the same basket. A powerful basket that powerful people know can be used as a tool to survey, influence, and run the world. Convincing the rest of us is just about fun little videos. Let me know what you think. What questions do you have about these apps on your phone? What can they do? What are they allowed to do? What do these tech companies do with your stuff once they have it? What can they do down the line? Email me at dan@wrl.com. Tell me what's on your mind, and we will go in depth.
Oh, Dan, when you do segments like this about social media, I just want to take my phone, drive it to Carolina Beach, and throw it as far as I can into the ocean because it all freaks me out. It's actually a beautiful night here at Carolina Beach. Let's get things over outside to meteorologist Kat Campbell. Kat, how are we looking?
Looking good today. I mean, not a cloud in the sky out here right now. Just a few in the distance, but boy, it's been a beautiful evening. Upper 60s for highs tomorrow. That's cooler than today's mid-70s, and that's due in part to more clouds arriving tonight into tomorrow. We'll wake up to mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, and we're mostly cloudy again on Saturday. But Saturday, the wind direction shifts. A little bit of a warming wind for us, 74 the high, and Sunday up to 82. Partly cloudy skies, the beginning of a more significant warm-up as our southwest wind builds back in. We do have a cold front that passed yesterday, and behind that front, our northeast wind tonight, it's a little cooler. Lows will be right around 50 degrees. So at breakfast time tomorrow morning, we're off to a gray start, 52 degrees. Lunchtime with the clouds in the morning, slower to warm up. So if you're thinking about doing lunch outside, you may want to have a sweater with you. It's about 60 degrees, partly cloudy, and dinner time temps in the upper 60s for your Friday evening. We've got Brugaloo happening in downtown Raleigh. If you're headed that way, it'll be around 66 at 7 o'clock. And by 11 o'clock, right around 60 degrees. The NC Courage taking on rain Saturday at 7 o'clock as well. 7 o'clock, it's going to be right around 71 degrees and by 11 o'clock, mid-60s. So very comfortable for any of the outdoor plans that you may have coming up this weekend. Here's where things begin to change. We've got this big ridge of high pressure building in next week. This is the jet stream pattern. The jet stream lifts to the north. And the effects of this, a very drying pattern as the air sinks, and we also have a warming pattern. So by next week, we could have our first 90-degree day of the year. We're talking 4 days in a row in the upper 80s. But the drought monitor expanding the abnormally dry region. We got this update in today. We really need some rain. We've seen less than an inch of rain for the entire month of April, and that's running almost 2 inches below normal for April. Unfortunately, the 7-day forecast not showing much hope on the horizon for a decent rain. Just a 20% chance for rain late tomorrow night, a 20% chance next Wednesday and Thursday. But we've got 2 days where we are forecasting 89 degrees. We'll let you know if we bump that number up to 90 in the coming days.
That is such a climb. Okay, thanks, Kat.
Dining outside in downtown Raleigh, about to get a bit more artistic where the city's putting up some murals after the break.
Hey, Hey, in just a few minutes, the Carolina Hurricanes will hit the ice in New York for Game 3 against the Islanders.
Big Game 3. They're hoping to make it 3 in a row to start this Stanley Cup playoffs. What an incredible Game 2. The Canes made an unbelievable comeback. They were down 3-0. They scored 2 goals in just 9 seconds. A couple more goals put them ahead for the win. They're going to look for more magic like that tonight. And to cause that chaos on Long Island, puck drops at 7:30. Let's take a live look at the Whirligig Park. This is in Wilson, kind of a famous spot for them out there. They blow like windmills all year, as effortlessly as it might seem.
Yeah. It actually is not as effortless as it seems, right? Right now, 3 of those Whirligigs are in the shop for maintenance. There's a team of conservationists that check on the Whirligigs 2 to 4 times a year. And, you know, maintaining them costs between $120,000 to $200,000 annually. Those 3 that were taken down will be reinstalled next week. The city of Raleigh has selected 12 local artists to paint colorful murals on downtown streeteries.
A streetery is an outdoor seating area located outside of a business, usually converted from on-street parking spaces. It provides a spot for people to sit and enjoy their meal, maybe a drink outside during the operation hours of a business. And this is a joint project between the Office of Special Events and Raleigh Arts.
When I was first looking at this story, you know, I thought of you because I know how much you love murals.
I do love murals.
So you're going to have 12 more.
I love food and drink, too. So it's
there you go.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight here on WRL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRL. Have a great night.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.